The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
It is a Monday, and I have the privilege of welcoming you to the program today. What an honor to be your host. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Hope you had a good weekend. Joy and I had just an unusually wonderful weekend. Had two of the grandkids over on Saturday. Got a lot of work around the house. Yeah, Grandpa's getting a little old. It's good to have the young'uns around. Yeah. We got some help doing some of the stuff outside. Just had a great time with the kids. And then yesterday, we finished up three straight weeks at a wonderful little church down on the south side of Columbus, Central Baptist Church. We were there three Sundays in a row because their pastor has been in Africa on a mission trip. I believe that he and his wife are returning, I think, today or tomorrow. But it was wonderful. Sweet people, so incredibly responsive to God's word. And this is just a personal note. Please take it. It's just a personal note. Many, many churches have gotten away from offering an invitation at the close of the service. Many churches. Yeah, you go back several years, and almost every church gave a personal invitation to respond for salvation, to deal with God for whatever purpose at the end of the service. It would be very unusual not to have a personal invitation. Today, probably it is more unusual to have an invitation. And I realize there's debate on both sides of the equation. I personally feel very strongly about giving people an opportunity to respond while God is speaking to you. I mean, while God is speaking to you, give people an opportunity to respond in some physical, tangible way. I am a proponent of the old-fashioned altar. And I don't believe it's just because I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I've just seen so much happen at an altar. I mean, through the years, I have seen people's lives transformed, families healed. I've just seen so many wonderful, and I think supernatural, miraculous things happen at an old-fashioned altar. And let me give you just a quick story, real quick. Many years ago, Joy and I went to a revival conference up in Michigan, Rives Junction, tiny, tiny little town where a massive revival broke out many years ago. It was supposed to be a 2-3 day revival, and was one of those that used to happen, not often, but it would happen occasionally. A 2-3 day revival turned into like a 2 or 3 month revival. It just kept going on and on. People kept accepting Christ. And anyway, as a result, in this tiny little town out in the middle of nowhere, this large church grew up in a cornfield. And every year they would have a revival conference. Joy and I went there, and one night the message just spoke to my heart. I was so deeply, deeply convicted, and an invitation was given. But I remember very specifically, I resisted. I knew a lot of the people. There were a lot of preacher friends there, and I was much younger then. And I thought, well, what will people think? I'm a pastor myself. And I made a little deal with God. I said, God, when we get back to the hotel, I'll deal with this thing that you've convicted me about. I'll deal with you. I promise. I'm not going to now. But when we get back to the hotel. Anyway, the service ended. Joy and I went out to eat. I don't remember whether we went by ourselves or with friends or whatever. And we got back to the hotel. And I told Joy, I said, I've just got to get alone with God. And I went over to a quiet part of the hotel room. And I tried to deal with God about that issue that he had convicted me of. And you may not agree with this. You may not believe it. And it really doesn't matter to me. It happened. It was as if God said to me, not in an audible voice, but he certainly spoke to my heart. Bob, we're not going to do this on your terms. I spoke to you an hour ago or whatever. And you would not deal with me on my terms. You are trying to deal with me on your terms. No. And it was like the heavens were brass. It was like a door in heaven closed. And I don't know that I could prove that verse by verse theologically, but that was my experience. And God made it very clear. We're going to do this on my terms, not yours. And it was weeks, if not months, before God dealt with me again about that particular issue. And I was able to deal with God, get it clean and clear. And I just told God, I said, all right, from now on, when you deal with me, I'm going to deal with you on your terms and not mine. And I was a proponent of the old-fashioned altar call before then, but especially after that. And so anyway, I said all of that to say that for the last 3 Sundays, the altars were just filled with people dealing with God. And I don't know what it was because it's not none of my business. But we had prayer and weeping and restoration and cleansing and renewal all 3 Sundays. Yesterday, I think especially, one dear gentleman who was a visitor, when the service was over and finished, came up and gave me a bear hug. Just hugged me tight. And he said, you have no idea what this meant to me this morning. He had come forward and he said, you just have no idea. Well, Praise God for that. God still works. His word still ministers. The Holy Spirit of God still convicts. The Holy Spirit still comforts. And we had a good day. We had a good weekend. Hope you did as well. Just rejoicing that God's word still speaks today. All right, we'll take a break and then we will return.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Friday of last week was the memorial service for 16-year-old Micaiah Bryant, shot in a tragic situation. She was trying to at least harm another individual, possibly murder. We don't know. She had a very large knife in her hand. She was certainly attempting to stab another individual. We don't know, and we'll never know, that if she had not been stopped, what the results would have been. We know that around the same time, a 13-year-old down in Cincinnati stabbed to death another 13-year-old. Would that have happened here? We don't know, but it was certainly very possible. A Columbus police officer showed up and stopped Micaiah Bryant from attacking the other black girl. Tragically, she was shot and killed. And all of us can agree that when a 16-year-old is shot and killed, it is tragic. Well, her funeral was Friday, conducted by Bishop Timothy Clark. And I did not hear his comments, but I am certain they were well thought out, words of comfort, and words of peace. I got a very nice note from Bishop Clark Saturday. I had told him that I would be praying for him, that God would give him wisdom, and he gave me a very, very nice response. But anyway, here is the headline from one of our local TV stations. Friends, family joined at funeral by others who didn't know slain teen. And it's a story, again, from one of our local TV stations about all of the people who came to the funeral that did not know Micaiah Bryant. Never met her, didn't know her, but were just there. One individual said that she was among those that felt she needed to attend. She brought her 9-year-old daughter. Both were wearing shirts emblazoned with Micaiah's face. Another individual said, "I'm a mother of 2 girls. She said she was affected by the death of the teen, and she came with a shirt with Micaiah Bryant's face." And the story goes on and talks about all of the people who came to the funeral just to show support. Many of them had shirts and hats with the face of the 16-year-old, and another individual said she didn't know the teen either. She attended wearing the girl's face on a shirt and a mask. At the conclusion of the funeral, Bryant's silver casket was placed in a hearse covered with a quilt that read "Black Lives Matter." Shortly after that, a chant of "Say her name, Micaiah Bryant," reminded everyone that emotions continue to run high. Now, I want to make this absolutely clear. I am delighted that there was such support for the family. I am delighted that there was such a large number of people there to celebrate the life of a 16-year-old who tragically lost her life. I am delighted. I am thrilled. But here is my question. What about all of the other black young people that have been killed already this year in Columbus, Ohio? I don't have the exact number. I tried to find the exact number and I can't find it. But I know that there have been dozens of black minors, young people, who have been murdered since the beginning of this year. Many. And here's my question. Did they have a massive memorial service? Did individuals from Congress show up for their funeral? Did the mayor of Columbus show up for their funeral? Did hundreds of people from the community show up at their funeral with T-shirts or sweatshirts with the face of the individual on those shirts and hats? That's my question. Aren't their lives just as important? In God's eyes, they are. So then why didn't they have that kind of memorial service? Simply because they were not shot by a white police officer. Now, let me make it absolutely clear. I am thrilled that Micaiah Bryant got this kind of memorial service. But why didn't the others? Why didn't the mayor attend their service? Why didn't Representative Joyce Beatty attend their service? I've said this sadly, dozens of times in the last couple of years. The value of your life is not determined by who you are or what you did or what you accomplished today. In the weird values and the weird controversial world that we live in today, the value of your life is determined by who killed you. Not the fact that you were killed. Not the fact that you were innocent. Not the fact that you were an innocent black individual. The value of your life is determined by who you were killed by. There's something terribly wrong with that.